The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
The legalism of look at me and how I can do so good, or he wants to push you off, Satan wants to push you off that path into guilt, and look how much I'm messing up, God, I can't do anything right. Right? I mean, how many people have been on both sides of that? Right? We all have, right? And so to walk the path that he has for us, it's a spirit-led walk, abiding in his word. Right? And that's why we're so focused on God's word, because as Case was saying, you know, we've all been taught some doctrine, right? And maybe you haven't been. When I ask people, I say, well, you know, how were you raised? It almost brings me joy when they say, I wasn't raised anyway. Okay, good. Well, praise God. Let's talk about Jesus, right? Because, you know, Paul was raised in doctrine. The Apostle Paul was raised in doctrine, and it was doctrine of the Pharisees, and he memorized the Torah. He memorized it. Think about it, first five books of the Bible he had to memorize. Okay. Praise God, right? So he knew the word, but he said, I count all that as rubbish because I preach Christ and him crucified. Right? He had to forget all of the legalistic views he had. The legalistic views that tormented Christians, by the way. And walk the path of righteousness led by the Holy Spirit. Right? And I guarantee that wasn't easy for him to do. That's why he had to go spend 14 years on his own with the Lord figuring it out. Right? How to apply what he was learning. Right? And then how to listen to God and write it out for us. Amen? Okay. So in Joshua 1, this is what the Lord was leading me to today. I'm in the, you know, thank you. I'm going to start in verse 1. it's okay. If it's not there, we're going to camp there, so if you want to leave it there. The first, I just want to read for some basis here, context. After the death of Moses, okay, so now they get to go in the promised land, right? The Israelites get to go in the promised land. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. One of the things the Lord has been sharing with me, and he's been sharing this a few years, but, the Lord shared with me that he has been taking some of the fathers of the faith home. So some of the fathers of the faith, and I'm just going to use an example, Billy Graham, right? You know how old Billy Graham was when the Lord took him home? 99. He was 99. And he was preaching right till the end, okay? And the Lord took him home. And I'm like, Lord, you're taking all these men home. And I had read a prophecy before that was going to kind of indicate we're moving into the last of the last. And so, you know, I pay attention to that. I was like, okay. And the Lord set that. We were driving to work. And the Lord put that on my heart, and he said, you know, I've been taking my people home, kind of like I took Moses home. I'm like, well, okay, let's read that. Then he said in verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Verse 6, this is where we're getting. Okay. And then he tells him, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. I would give them. He's fulfilling the promise, right? Be strong and very courageous, he says it again. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do, right? Do what you're told, you'll be successful. Verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Let's read verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So those last two verses, you know, the first sets up kind of what I've been feeling. We're kind of moving into new land as the church, okay? Think about it. We're moving into new land. New land where there are lost people, and they need to know Jesus, okay? And who's he sending? Us, right? He's sending us. Why? Because he's sending his Spirit who is in you. Because who draws men unto himself? The Holy Spirit. That's what the word says. Well, where's the Holy Spirit? Inside you. So he's sending you out into all the world, which all the world includes Colfax County, Los Angeles County, Union County. You know, it includes our little Jerusalem, our little Judea, our little Samaria, to the ends of the earth, right? It's us. He's sending us. He's fully equipped us. How are we going to succeed in these things he's called us to do? Keeping that book of instruction before us, right? Letting it work inside of us. I titled this message, this teaching, you know, being doers of the word, but abiding in the word. And that comes from John 15, verse 7 and 8. I'm reading the Amplified. It says, if, how many people have heard me teach on if? If means it's up to me, right? I mean, if. You know, if I go to work, I might get paid. If I don't, I will not get paid, right? If you live in me, this is Jesus talking, and it says, abide vitally united to me. Vital means it's of my life. If I don't, I'm in trouble. I'm going to die, right? If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. And listen to this. And my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. What's your heart? Your mind, will, emotion. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about your soul man, right? How many people understand fully that in your spirit man, the word abides united forever in your spirit man? It's already there. Why? Because he's the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Jesus is the word. You got Father God sitting on the throne, Jesus at his right side, and the Holy Spirit in his believers. That's where the Holy Spirit is, sealed inside of you, right? Man. All right. Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Meaning that you have some authority now. Why? Because you're abiding in the word. The words are abiding in you. Who is Jesus? He's the word. When I say you're abiding in the word, you're abiding in Jesus. That means his word is in you through the Holy Spirit. That's why it says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. The truth of his word, you'll be led to by the Holy Spirit. That's why we're teaching so strongly on the word of God, right? Because if we're going to abide in him, we're going to abide in his word, we're going to look on that book of instruction, continually meditating on it, knowing that our future is secure as we do that. Amen? Right. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of salvation, right? Praise God for that. But guys, we have things that accompany salvation, as it says in Hebrews. There are things that accompany salvation, right? And that's a life well lived. It's an abundant life. It's a life residing in the promises of God. That doesn't mean that you're exempt from trials and tribulations. No, they're going to come. But what it means is you're fully equipped for every trial, every situation, every circumstance you come up against. And what kind of gauge do you have to know if you're on the track? You're a fruit inspector, like my wife said. Right? I know when I'm off track, when my fruit doesn't line up with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm off track. And we've talked about it. If I'm frustrated, if I'm tired, if I'm confused. I mean, I have so many people. I'm just confused. Well, it says God is not the author of confusion. So we got a problem. And that's okay. Because guess how many people have problems? Everybody. But not everybody has a solution. You have the solution to your problems. It resides in the Holy Spirit, leading you to the truth of the solution to the problem. But there's an if there. And that's the application of his word. So we actually have to apply God's word in our life. And it comes by the choice of the soul man. The Spirit is guiding you to the right choice. But if resides in the choice of your soul. Your mind will means I will do it or I won't. And then your emotions. Because there are emotions. We are people of emotions, right? But I won't be led by my emotions. I'll be led by the Holy Spirit so that my emotions will start following and flowing in the fruit of the Spirit. There's an emotion associated with joy. There's an emotion associated with peace. Right? There's emotions associated with the fruit of His Spirit. But there's also lots of emotions associated with my flesh. Right? So being a doer of the word, applying God's word in my life, is vital so that when other people are inspecting my fruit, because guess what? They always are. And a lot of people are nitpicking. They're waiting to jump on some of the fruit of the flesh. Ha ha! Alright? And Satan's ready to convict you. He wants to convict you and call you guilty. The Holy Spirit wants to tell you, hey, let's line up over here. I've already forgiven you, right? Walk like one forgiven. Act like one forgiven. Amen? Amen. And it sets you free. And guys, that's what I want our people to know. Because that's the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. You know, we celebrate, you know, his sacrifice for our salvation. Praise God. I celebrate that, but I celebrate his ascension and the sending of his Holy Spirit so that now I can be a functioning body part as with him as the head. Is this making sense? I hope this encourages you, guys, because we are on the precipice of a great awakening, the greatest awakening ever known to man, because how many people are asleep in this world? It's so funny that it's called wokeism. They ain't awake, they're asleep. They ain't awoke nothing. They're sleeping in a dreamy world of craziness. Right? But they need to awaken to the Son of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit of truth, and there'll be an awakening inside of them, and they'll affect other people too. But it's got to start with us, right? We're the occupying force, right? As we plant those seeds of the Spirit, it'll always be based on the Word, right? And it's not a legalistic thing. I mean, don't raise your hand. I don't want anybody admitting. But, you know, sometimes I look at social media. I'm not good at it. I don't have an Insta chat. Snappy, whatever stuff. Little face. Does that surprise you, Tennille? It doesn't surprise you at all. No, I don't have any of that. I do. I have the Facebook thing. The Facebook. That's what I call the Facebook. I got the Facebook, and I'll look at it. And I got the Twitter X, whatever it's called. You know, and sometimes I'll see some doctrine of people, and God bless them. I think they mean well. But like, I'll read it. and my inside starts to turn because, I mean, there's like theological problems all over what this person writes, right? And I'm like, oh, no. And, of course, like, what do you want to do when you see that? I want to fix it. I want to write all the stuff and fix it, right? And God never lets me. He doesn't. He has told me, pray for that person. And I said, but God! It's wrong doctrine. It's not even based on your word. And he says, Monty, I can overcome that in their life. And then you know what else he says? I overcame it in yours. Man. Yeah, you can. I had a situation this week. that I've never encountered. I had a person holler at me. No, they weren't hollering. They're asking for help. Because they had a belief that I knew wasn't quite right, okay? I mean, this is me trying to navigate good waters here. And they wanted me to, and guys, please understand, if you have a background that believes this way, God, I mean, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, please. They wanted me to come and give last rites. Okay? Okay. You guys, a lot of you understand exactly what I'm talking about, okay? It was very important to them. I know that there has been teachings that if that doesn't happen, the person can't go to heaven. I believe that's wrong by the word, okay? I believe their faith in Jesus is what allows them to go to heaven. Praise God. And whether anyone's there at that last second or not, Jesus is there at that last second, okay? And he's the one that ushers them in. Amen? But this was something that there was a belief there, okay? And I said, well, I'll come. I mean, what do you do? I said, you know, I'll come pray with you and your person, your husband. I'll come pray with you. And I said, but I can't be there until here, right? Okay. And so this became this. And I'm trying to run out of my office and I'm running and I text them, I'll be there in a sec. And I get there and they let me in and I go in and I anoint them with oil. And as I'm going though, the Lord gives me a scripture to read. And I'm like, aha! Because I love it when he does that, because now I know I'm on a mission, right? I'm on a mission. He's given me what to do. Because how many people go into situations and they don't know what to do? A lot, right? I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I had to look up what they were talking about because I don't understand that, right? Okay. So I go in and I anoint them with oil. I pray and I start reading the scripture. And the man looks at me when I'm reading the scriptures. I read John 14, by the way. I go to prepare a place for you. Then I start praying. And as soon as I finished praying, he passed. That second. And she looks at me. And she starts to cry. Okay. I finally go out to my wife, who is waiting in the car for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I don't know. She's waiting on me. And I tell her what happened. And she points out, she says, you know, how good is our God that will meet someone where they're at because it was important to them. Now, in my little doctrinal mind, I'm like, I don't understand this. God says, it doesn't matter what you understand. He supplied what they needed, Not what was doctrinally acceptable, not acceptable, blah, blah, blah. Right? Doesn't matter. He overcomes all that, right? So as we are in his word, and we're really honestly trying to apply God's word, let's not forget that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can rightly divide that word. My understanding gets hung up on stuff. It does. God, I don't understand this. He says, it doesn't matter. You don't have to. Just be obedient. Just be obedient to apply my leading, even if it appears like, you know, well, this doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't matter. He overcomes my misunderstanding of doctrine. Because I'm sure I have some. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I really, really, like sincerely try hard to not misrepresent God in his word. Like when I say something, I really believe it. I really believe it. Okay? When I know in full, do I expect Jesus to explain some things that I had wrong? Yes. I'm certain that I'm wrong about some things I think. Not intentionally. I mean, I try to be very careful when I preach something and speak it, that it's based on the word, right? But I'm an imperfect vessel. His message is perfect. His message is perfect. I'm an imperfect vessel. But his message is perfect. And the Holy Spirit will divide it perfectly in your life if you'll let him. If you'll let him. You see? And what comes from that? Peace. Let me tell you, there's more peace in that room than you can imagine. What started as a little bit of chaos came to peace. Amen? Man. And guys, I'm not sure I've preached any of my message really. But applying God's word is not a legalistic, harsh application. It's a very gentle, kind, yet stronger than anything that exists in this world. The worlds were framed on his word. So there's nothing stronger than his word. Nothing. Because that's who he is. There's nothing stronger than God. He's his word. There's nothing stronger. And yet, the kindness and gentleness of his applied word touches my heart every time. It goes beyond my mental understanding, as limited as it is. Because he is that good. He is that good. So don't ever walk condemned. Walk in freedom as you apply God's word to your life, right? In the Passion, James 1, which we read last week, it says in the Passion, James 1, verse 23, it says, if you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. That's how we want to be seen. But then you go out and forget your divine origin. Now, this is going to be us. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear. We respond to the truth we hear. And then we're strengthened by it. They experience God's blessings in all they do. That lines up with all the other scriptures we've already read, right? Right. And so, yes, we're gonna, the simplicity of God's word is liberty, it's freedom, right? It doesn't take an advanced degree in theology to understand what the Holy Spirit teaches you. But it does take the Holy Spirit. And it takes my response to him. We're going to be doing another Bible study. Thank you, Julie and Julie. Julie Squared. for their Bible study. Oh, how good, huh? On prayer. I thank them so much for that. We're going to be doing a study on the Holy Spirit again. Because let me tell you something. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is today. Why? Because Jesus is using his body, the church, in this last day advancement of his kingdom. This last day advancing and taking ground. Taking foot on our inheritance, which is this region. And what we're inheriting is a kingdom that won't be shaken. Right? We're inheriting people joining the kingdom in droves. Because the chaos of this world is driving them to seek peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's going to be Jesus. Amen? And as we walk in that freedom, there's going to be fruit of that. And peace is one of the fruit. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. You know what else is going to come from us walking by the Holy Spirit? Power. It says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. Right? They say that a definition of wisdom is applied knowledge. Application of what you've learned is wisdom. And in James it says the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it's gentle, it's undefiled. We're going to walk in wisdom which gives us authority and empower, right, to reach people for Christ. And you're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it when you're overcoming battles in your own life. You're doing it when you're being set free of something that Satan's trying to keep you under. See, because as you win the battles in your own personal life, it frees you because somebody's watching you fight the battle. You may not know it, but they are. They're watching you fight the battle. They're watching how you do it. And when they see you going to church, reading your scripture confessions, meditating on the word, saying you're sorry, man, I messed that up. Changing, right? Becoming a new creation. Amen. And it don't happen all at once. I promise you, when Mo trains a colt, that colt don't get trained overnight. Or does it? No, I don't know. Maybe it does for him. I don't know. It takes time. Be patient with yourself. That's a fruit of the Spirit too. Be patient with yourself. But don't deceive yourself either. See, let me tell you something. The advancement in maturity is going to be completely dependent on you recognizing being off track quickly. The speed of your maturity will be directly correlated with how quick you recognize when you make a mistake. Because you're going to make them. It's okay. Don't keep making them over and over and over. Don't keep making them. If I see something in my life that doesn't line up with God's word, I say, God, this don't line up with your word. There's a correction that needs to be made. I was telling somebody the other day, using the same example, I think Sarah's the one who told this example. Guys, when I'm driving on the highway, my hands don't stay on the wheel just like this. Why? Because there's bumps in the road. I've got to kind of adjust all the time, right? You're kind of correcting. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing as I'm going down this highway of life. Life is a highway. ADD. That's what happens. He corrects me. He knows the curves are in front of me. He gets me turning when I need to. He provides a rumble strip when I get over too far. Monty, come over here. I'm here. That's what he does. And as I'm in his word, fine-tuning my sensitivity to his spirit, I get on that road. There's still bumps. But they don't bother me. I just keep moving. Oh. Guys, I just feel so strongly that we're in this season. I have so many more scriptures. I don't think I preached what I was going to preach. He's like, no, you didn't. I hope that's okay. Is that okay? Is that all right? Yeah. I mean, when I tell people I don't know what I'm doing, I'm being serious. But I trust the one who does know. And he loves you so much. And he wants you to know him. That's why he gave us his word. That's why he gave us his spirit. So that we can really know him. Not know about him. I don't want to know about him because the people that are telling me about him, they may not know him as well as I need to know him in all their honesty. I could tell you about God. I can tell people that don't know him about him. I really can. But until they taste and see themselves how good he is, they won't know. They have to taste and see themselves. But once they taste and see how good he is, they'll never forget. Ever how good he is. But then as we start applying what he's taught us in our lives, being in the word, confessing the word, praying and speaking to him and listening to what he's saying, being led by him, watching the fruit come off of that steady connection with him in the vine, inspecting it, recognizing when it doesn't line up with that gentleness. It doesn't line up with the peace. I need to reinspect. I need to adjust. my steering wheel a little bit. Holy Spirit, help me. How do I do this in my life? Show me how. You know, when Kay said, you know, why, God, why? That's okay to ask him why. But then listen to what he tells you. There is a why. And usually the why is me. Why is this such a mess? You. You made a bad choice, Monty. You planted a bad seed. You're reaping the harvest and you ain't liking it. Let's plant some new seeds. All right. Let's plant some new seeds. Let's apply God's word in our life. And keep applying it. And keep applying it. And keep applying it. Having that patient endurance that his spirit will give you. Until you're walking in the promises. Right? And that abundant life is overtaking you. That grace is abounding in your life. Right? And what will happen is you'll start getting plugged in to your calling. You'll start recognizing what he has for you. You'll start walking in that freedom. And all of a sudden, that excitement that you might not have felt for a long time starts glowing. It starts getting hot. How many people long for that feeling again? Yeah. It's there. He's starting to stoke the fire right now. He's trying to stoke it up. It's getting hotter and hotter because he wants to use you today. So many people don't know Jesus. Guys, you're here because you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to talk to some of these people up here after we're done. They're going to talk to you about Jesus. I got to slip out of here real fast. So I'm going to let EJ come, and he's going to do the scripture confessions. They're going to do the blessing, and they're going to close you. But we're going to be here next week for Christmas Eve. Amen. Amen. We're going to be here next Sunday morning. Amen. And we're going to declare God's word, okay? I'm praying for you. Sarah and I are praying for you daily, daily. For the situations and circumstances you're in, we pray for you. You pray for us, and we'll keep praying for each other. And we'll keep going, guys. We're not going to quit, okay? God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Love will